Hi, welcome to episode 18 of Oral Fix. I am Drew Brown.
I'm Henry Diaz.
And we're your hosts of Oral Fix. Oral Fix is a weekly social commentary podcast for the gay community. And this week, we are actually taping next to each other, which is a first.
Yay! We're live!
Also, you can find us on Stitcher.com as well as on iTunes. So, Henry, how are you? Even though I kind of know. How did you sleep? Did you sleep well on my couch?
Yes, we slept together. Well, in separate beds last night.
But how are you? You doing well?
I'm doing good. Yeah, it's kind of quite comfy. Everyone, I'm reporting live from Drew's little man pad
in Brooklyn.
In Brooklyn, I came and stayed over his nice little abode because it was family weekend here in the city, and I and Drew are going to do some exciting things later today to improve this podcast.
Yeah, so we're definitely going to be, you know, we might have some exciting news to share with you guys, so hopefully all goes well. So please say a little prayer in the gay universe for us, and hopefully all works out and more details to come, so you can actually maybe see us live and in person. So anyway,
Well, before you keep on going, I just need to get this off of my chest.
What?
Because ever since you said we were next to each other, taping, recording live, I need to face to face a couple of silver spoons, open to find we're two of a cut.
Oh, Lord. See, normally he gets all, like, geeky nerdy, and it's over the phone. But now to see it in person, it's even worse.
Bitch, shut up.
So, anyway,
you'd be so lucky to be sung by somebody.
Thank you for the lovely serenade. But your week was fine?
My week was kind of... What happened this week? This week... Oh, by the way, people who are listening to us, there's like some school near where Drew lives, so there's kids screaming in the background. If you hear those kids, we apologize.
Okay, you have to like tell them all my business. They're gonna like, you know,
I don't want them to think that we have kids in the closet like screaming. Did you hear that little kid back there? She was like shrieking like somebody killed her.
Well, you know, we are recruiters, you know.
Oh no, you can speak for yourself, honey. Anyway, my week has been really interesting. I think it was this past weekend, yeah. It was the last weekend of the Renaissance Fair, and that was kind of sad. I probably said in the previous podcast, it's usually, you know, the end of the season is usually the saddest because nobody really, you know, plays in life like the way people do in the Renaissance Festival, or at least actors. You know, when our artists and actors are among each other, we have a great time because we know that life, we can't take it too seriously. And, you know, with the whole, like, recession and everything happening and, you know, the last few years in the Renaissance have been kind of crappy in terms of weather-wise, so that means business is down. But this year, people weren't really, like, into having fun. Mm-hmm. They were, like, there just because they wanted to do something for the summer. They didn't want to be stuck at home, and they, you know, had some money to spend. But they didn't want to have fun, and it was really sad. And even to them, to the last day, it was, you know, depressing for twofold. One, because, of course, you know, people didn't want to have fun, and the other because I wasn't going to see these people again, and I was looking forward to that. You know, everyone, it was back to reality. And, I mean, this year, what made it extra special for me, besides doing, you know, La Chamaca, Lady Chamaca all the time, for the last 2 months, every weekend at the Renaissance Festival, is people took Lady Chamaca very seriously, especially some of the customers, the patrons that would come there. But the people who work there took her very seriously, and I felt really, like, honored by that. Like, I made so many friends, and people who brought me flowers, or they were, like, bring me food, and, or, you know, I got presents, like, left and right, and it was just really amazing for me.
Well, they should always bring a lady presents.
Of course, chocolate, of course, dark chocolate.
A lady always should get presents.
Well, the other thing is also that, you know, some guys, like straight guys, in the past, like, I've given them my hand, like, you know, the lady hand, so they could kiss my hand, and in the past, nobody really has kissed it, and this year, like, everybody, like, all these guys were kissing it, and I was like, oh my god.
You should expect something else out and see if they kiss that.
You're so dirty today, what's going on?
I don't know, you know, this is how I roll.
How was your week?
My week was kind of bittersweet. You know, all it seems like all of my friends are moving away.
Oh.
So one of my best friends is actually moving to his country, and going to Belize. So had his going away party, and also helping him pack and move his stuff in storage, and also to his mom's place, and separating stuff that he was going to take with him to Belize. So it's been kind of, you know, sad, but, you know, at the same time, you know, he's always talked about going to Belize and kind of retiring there. So I knew it was going to happen. I just didn't know it was going to happen so soon. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, sad. I mean, it's not like the end of our friendship. Of course, we're going to, you know, still see each other. And
How long have you guys been friends?
We've been friends since almost at least like 20 years.
Oh, my God.
20 plus, yeah. I mean, we were, I mean, I would say like, about 15, 20 years, yeah. So we've been friends for a really long time. Like, we were kind of, we, you know, met during the club, you know, in the club scene, and, you know, really just became friends. And, as you know, it's very rare that you meet someone who, it just kind of, you, who gets you, and there's no kind of, you know, you just feel comfortable with, and we really grew up together. And, you know, we were really, you know, a dynamic duo.
Yeah.
So he is definitely a person that I love and admire, and sad that he's leaving. But also I'm happy that he's, you know, going and going to be doing good things. So, yeah. So that's that. But it's been, you know, it's been a crazy week.
I'm so sorry. We kind of like had almost a sick. Same type of week, because the words that you used to describe, like your friend, like, you know, he won't be around there, there won't be somebody to get you like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's the same way, and the same way I described, like, the Renaissance Festival, like, you know, I'm going to leave and nobody really is going to get me after this.
Yeah. No, it's hard to find those kind of people. So.
It is.
But, there you go.
Well, another good thing that happened to me this week was that, the Renaissance Fair ending was that good, but of an ending. My god sisters that I've lost communication with since my godmother passed away 20 years ago found me on Facebook, and I got reunited with that side of the family this weekend, and that's why I'm here in the city.
Okay.
And it's been amazing. It's been like so unbelievable. Like, I feel like I was in heaven. Like, it almost felt like, you know, like, it almost felt like my high school reunion. Like, the people you thought you would never, ever, ever see again in your life were there.
Okay.
And everyone was so happy to see me. I was happy to see them. And it was just really an awkward experience. And like, again, you know, it came through Facebook. Like, all these reunions I've been having in the last 3 years or so have been all through Facebook. And
well, it's good that Facebook, you know, I mean, when Facebook is used correctly, it is a good thing.
Speak of Facebook, do you like the news changes?
You know, a lot of people were, you know, complaining about them and, like, hated them. And I think it's just because people don't like change, you know? But I don't... It is a little confusing, but I'm not on Facebook that much. Like, I'm not, like, I don't spend hours and hours on it. Like, I use it on my phone.
You don't?
I know. And I don't, like, you know, I don't just, like, you know, befriend random people or that kind of stuff. You know, I'll check, you know, our Facebook page and stuff like that, but I don't really, I'm not on it so much. Most of the time when I'm on my on Facebook, I'm on Facebook through my phone. Because, you know, I get notifications, so, you know, something comes up, so I respond mostly through there. But when I'm at home, I'll go on sometimes, but I don't, like, I'm not on there, like, chatting with people and finding people or searching for people as much as others.
Well, I do.
Of course. Do you like the new changes, or?
I don't like some of them. I mean, okay, I like the changes, but what I don't like, and they've been doing this lately, is that they cram it with a lot of changes, and you're just, like, left...
Left to your own devices. Like,
Try to do, like, this, like, whiz thing, like, you know, we'll walk you through, like, a tour thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work for me. Like, I'm still, like... I'm disgusted. You know?
Oh my God, it's such a strong word.
Well, I am disgusted because it's like, you know, I'm a techie, and, you know, I do websites, and I know how to code, and I know basic programming language for, you know, software and computers, hardware, but, and I know how to, like, you know, go and adapt and go with the flow, but Facebook, when you're slapped in the face with, like, let's say, 10 people talking to you at the same time, that's what their changes are like. I just can't believe it. Like, I don't even want to mess with it. I like the ticker on the side that keeps ticking and you can see people's updates.
Yeah.
A lot of people that I know in the tech world don't like it. Molly Wood doesn't like it.
Okay.
She went on a rant about that. But, you know, a lot of people don't like the changes. And what I have to say about that, and I'm surprised Molly Wood didn't say it in her Buzz Report last week, is that, and she said it before when Facebook has changes, like, people who don't like it shouldn't really complain because it's for free.
Yeah. But then, you know, there was this thing going around, too. And it was like a lot of people were, you know, putting as their update, like, their status changes saying, you know, that if you don't post this as your status, that you will be charged for Facebook. And so there were people who fell for this kind of hoax. Kind of thing. And so there are a lot of people who are updating their statuses as, like, oh, by midnight tonight, Facebook is going to start charging you for being a member, and if you don't put it as your status, then you're going to be charged, and people were doing it, and it was a big hoax, of course, but...
Well, the sad part about that, because my friend, one of my good friends who, the one who's friends with Zachary Quinto...
Yeah.
He fell for that, and he posted this whole big thing on his status, and he had prices, and, you know, Chunky's up there, he's, like, rubbing elbows with a lot of, you know, high-end corporate people and, you know, entertainment people, so I thought to myself that maybe this is coming from two sources, but when I kept on reading his status, it was just, like, this hoax type of, like, status thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, I can't believe you fell for it, Chunky. And then, but... You know, and then I start remembering that in one of the podcasts I was listening to from CNET, Buzz Out Loud, it was a Buzz Report when they were introducing the whole, like, video Skype with Facebook.
Yeah.
They reported that one of the key features that came out of the report of the announcement of the video calling on Facebook was that in the future... They were thinking about, and they talked about this actually at, I guess, their press conference, Facebook, about charging it's some type of small fee for a premium feature of the video calling.
Yeah, I did hear that. I did hear that. And then I also remember them saying, you know, they made a thing where you can do that through Google Plus for free. Because, like, you can video chat or
Skype, they have this thing called Hangout where you can do multi-conferencing.
I don't know.
Video conferencing.
Whatever. But I don't know if Google Plus has taken off as much as...
Actually, it's becoming popular more and more. I mean, Google Plus has, like, about 3 million users now or close to that. And they're making it easier for you to do video conferencing, a hangout, which is video conferencing, through cell phones now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it supposedly doesn't eat up your battery as much, so they have some Google Plus app that they just updated, so they could do that.
Oh.
So well, who knows? I mean, if more and more people are starting to hate Facebook, they might just wind up over at Google Plus. Who knows?
But I think, you know, I mean, I don't think Facebook really is going to meet the fate of MySpace, like MySpace.
I don't know.
But I think Facebook is going to be around for, I mean, it does have a good, you know.
Did you watch Molly Wood's Buzz Report last week?
I did not.
You have to watch it because she goes off on a rant on how Facebook's latest keynote, which was a public, you know, a press announcement about all their new features that are coming out and the future features that are coming out. Mm-hmm. Some of this is just the beginning of what Facebook is going through. The future stuff that's coming out, like this timeline thing and this movie rental thing, the layout and a new layout. This is just the beginning of the new layout. There's more to come. She says that it looks just like MySpace, and when the pictures that you see in the Buzz Report, it looks like they're making this like MySpace, like what MySpace used to look like before the new revamping of their layout.
I mean, I guess MySpace was fine until you got, like, you know, same thing with Facebook too. I mean, you got like a lot of, like, you know, spam through MySpace, but I mean, MySpace was really good for music, like for bands and that kind of stuff.
Me too, and video. Anyway.
But anyway.
That's enough about that.
That's enough about that. So are we moving on?
We are moving on. So everyone, we are moving on to our next segment, which is Tit for Tat. And that is where I and Drew go at it. we really give our feedback about an item in our gay community that doesn't belong there. Well, it doesn't really belong there, but we just think it's a hot topic that we need to kind of scratch our eyes out about. And this week, what we have is this really unfortunate app that just made its way into the Android market called My Gay Son, I believe. I'm trying to pull it up as I am living out of my cell phone right now, out of my Evo, and let's see if I can bring up our show notes. So this app has 20 questions that you should ask yourself and or your son, who you might think is gay, and we thought, I and Drew, that it would be really interesting enough to just go through them with you all and just give our comments and opinions about it, because it's just really dastardly. I mean, like,
yeah, and we talked about, you know,
and it's a paid app,
and we talked about the, you know, I think, you know, it's really, you know, we talked also before, you know, in one of our podcasts about, you know, how you can tell if your husband is gay. So it's like, it seems like everybody has this thing of, you know, they're trying to figure this out, but it's also stereotypical and, you know, of course there's some stereotypes are true, but is this kind of, you need an app for it?
I know. An app that costs $1.99.
And it's just like, you know, and then some of the things on there are just like, is this wrong?
And we, you know, I almost was going to buy it just so that we can speak more about this on this podcast, but I was like, no, I'm not going to contribute to their cause. I mean, it's just, really? Okay, so the app is called, Is My Son Gay? Okay? If you have any questions about your son being gay, why don't you just go to the Hetrick Martin Institute or call the Trevor Project and talk to somebody there? But this app has 20 questions, a survey, where I guess you give your son the app and they have to fill it out for you. And they're yes and no questions. And it says here to identify your son's sexual preference. And then via Route 89, and translated by English, I don't know what Route 89 is, by resident Huffington Post Post French speaker Alice Hines. Okay, so the reporter Alice Hines writes out the questions for us. I guess they bought the app, so yeah, they could report on it. The first
question is: Does he dress up nicely? Does he pay close attention to his outfits and brand names? There are a lot of straight guys who are, you know, label whores just as much as gay people are. And there are some gay people who are not very fashionable, like Henry.
Oh, don't even try it.
I'm just playing. I kid. I was just joking. But there are a lot of straight people who are wearing, you know, who are, that doesn't hold true.
It's true. Yeah. You're right. I mean, there's a lot of, which is god-awfully insane, a lot of straight people, I have to say, I don't know. I haven't found that even balance, but I think there's a lot more straight people out there that are more materialistic than gay people are.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that there are a lot of metrosexuals out there. There are lots of people who, there are a lot of men who spend just as much money as women do on clothes. So that's the first one.
Well, the other thing is that not all gay people are overly concerned about brands or whether or not they're dressly, you know, they're dressing up nicely. Especially the DL gay people, you know, like.
No, but does DL, you know, they can still be, you know, they can still, it also, they can be wearing brand names, but they could be, you know, whatever. I mean, you see tons of, like, you know, ghetto kids wearing Prada sneakers and, you know, Gucci sunglasses and stuff like that. Like, you know, there is a, you know, I mean, and they could be DL, you know, so there is this kind of, that doesn't really, they like labels just as much as anyone else.
Okay, so the second question is, does he like football? Since when football is a gay sport?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess when you really break it down, it can be, you know, gay. Like men, you know, wearing tight clothes, tackling each other and piling up on each other. It could be kind of homoerotic.
Oh my. Or slapping each other on the butt.
But most, a lot of other sports, you know, do that too.
Well, I think also because out in the Midwest, a lot of gay people who have come out or have been outed have been football, maybe? Is that...
I don't know. I don't know. That's a weird one. I have no idea. I don't get that. I don't get that one.
Well, I know in Queer as Folk, you know, when that guy started seeing the football star.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, Queer as Folk, I don't really reference as...
But I think...
As real, you know, like, I wouldn't reference it as true to life, you
but
know?
But they were really depicting something that was real.
First of all, they weren't even in Pittsburgh. Anyway. So, you know, before he was born, did you wish he would be a girl? So, if you're your mom, if you're a parent, like, if you wish your child to be the opposite sex, then that's gonna make them gay? Like, just because you had those thoughts? I mean, I think all parents might have a preference, or they might say, oh, I wish it's a girl, I hope it's a girl, and it turns out a boy. You know, that doesn't mean that they love their child any less, or, you know, what have you, but I don't think that that's a factor in determining whether or not that child is going to be gay.
Well, I
think, or straight.
I don't think this question holds any relevance to, you know, the question itself on the app, which is my son gay? You know, if my son is gay, then, and he's acting feminine and everything, and I wish him to be a girl, I mean, it would be obvious of a question.
They're saying that's the cause of it, I guess.
Well,
so these are causes of, or I have no idea.
Well,
it doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, like it just shouldn't be on this app, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a question because it's obvious that if your son is gay, that, you know, and you did think that thought, you're going to confirm that to yourself.
Because
you're inviting the spirit into your womb, and you're like, oh. Well, I guess, you know, yeah, I guess the app is also trying to focus you and make you understand where you went wrong.
But, I mean, but the other question, I mean, if you look at number four, has he ever got into or participated in a fight? That's every, you know, I've gotten into fights.
Me too.
You know, what does that mean? Every little boy or girl have gotten into some type of, you know, altercation or, you know, being picked on or whatever. So what does that mean? That we're all gay?
I don't know.
Does he have a best friend? Are they meaning, like, best friend in quotations?
Yeah, what does that mean? So if you don't have a best friend, you're gay because nobody wants to be friends with you?
I don't know. I mean, or it should have been like, does he have a best friend who's, like, does he have, like, a fag hag kind of thing? Or, I don't know.
Oh my god, these are, like, Mormon, like, Puritan questions.
Does he like diva singers?
What? Where do you see that one?
Number nine?
Oh my god. Does he have diva singers?
Does he like diva singers?
Does he like diva singers?
So if he likes Madonna, Celine, Cher, I guess... Yeah, I would think he was gay.
This one. Does he have a tongue, nose, or ear piercing?
Yeah, that's weird.
How about Prince Albert? I mean, usually I think gay guys are the ones who are bold enough to get a Prince Albert.
Yeah, I don't know. Does he spend time getting ready before being seen in public?
Okay, I give them that one.
I don't know. Have you? The only question I can see that's a good question is: Have you ever asked yourself questions about your son's sexual orientation? I mean, if you ever questioned it, you know, then most likely, they always say, like, a mother always knows. You know, if you have doubts that your son might be gay, then chances are he might have some tendencies.
Yeah, totally.
But all of it, does he like musical comedies? Well, that's kind of gay.
I don't get, are you divorced?
Yeah, I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense either. Like, I guess...
We all come from broken homes. Like, that's fucked up.
Well, some say that because if the child doesn't grow up with a father...
Without a father figure, yeah, that's true. That's...
I heard that one lots of times.
Yeah, I've heard that one too. Has he introduced you to a girlfriend ever?
Okay, that is a short indicator. Like, this weekend, like, my family kept on asking me, so, are you married? Do you have children? I'm like, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And they kind of, like, looked at me like, uh-oh.
He's gay!
Because all their children are married and kids, or they're divorced with kids.
Well, yeah, and especially once you hit a certain age, you know, they expect, you know, you should have settled down, or you should have, you know, have a family, you know, so, yeah. I guess that. Was he shy as a child?
Was he shy that... No, I don't give them that. That's dumb. And was he shy as a child? He could have been a geek, you know? A straight geek, a nerd, shy as a child.
I mean, it's... You know, I mean, the questions are not really homophobic, or they're not, like, you know, so, like, you know, is he wearing pink and singing show tunes kind of questions?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I think that, like, if you have a question about your child, why don't you just ask your child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't think you need to have a checklist. I mean...
I know! They should have questions to ask your child.
Yeah! Like, question... Exactly! It should be questions to, like, or how to... Or it should be how to approach your child, you know, to, you know, have a conversation with them about their sexuality. As opposed to, you know, is he gay? And having these kind of, you know, things that can go either way, or just kind of, like, very stereotypical. It should be more about, like, how to approach your son and have that conversation about his sexuality without being judgmental or, you know, and being accepting. But this is just wrong.
It is, and it says here that reaction around the internet has not been kind. Gay-friendly Instinct magazine said that the app is based on the signs of tired and offensive stereotypes, while Jezebel laments that the app's horrible stereotypical questions. The app is entirely homophobic, apparently, as Jezebel reports that if your son is determined not to be gay, the app says no need to look the other way.
He is gay.
Accept it. You're a fool if you buy this app for $1.99.
Yes, you are a fool. But there are lots of fools out there, so I could see people thinking that an app is going to, you know, answer these questions. So I don't.
They should definitely make an app to so that you can, and this would be something that you should pay for. What if you want to pay for it? I would give the green light on this. Just, you know, to ask your children whether or not they're gay. You know,
yeah, how to have questions. The discussion,
right?
How to have the discussion. I think that would be. I wouldn't be offended by that, but I would be offended. I am a, you know, I think these type of apps are wrong.
They are, and they're like those sucker apps that they suck you in and your money for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they're stupid.
They are.
So, that's our tit for tat. We think, and our verdict is that this is not right.
Yeah, not right at all. Alright, so we're going to leave you off with some music, and of course we're going to include this link in our show notes. So, enjoy the music break, and we'll be back.
Welcome back. That was VHS or Beta, Breaking Bones, the Cosmic Kids remix. Good little tune there. I really like them. They're a really cool band. Now we're going to go into our next segment, which is the main drag. And this is where we have a topical discussion and we have our insights and discuss, you know, give our points of view about what's we find interesting. So this week, the question of does size matter? And we all know what we're talking about. We don't have to spell it out for you, but.
And we don't have to measure it for you, do we? Do we need to measure it for you?
But does size matter, Henry, for you?
This is the topical question of the week, folks. And I didn't come up with this. This was Drew's idea.
Well, you know, I mean, it's just one of those things where, you
because
know,
it must matter to her. Right, Miss Drew?
I am not a size queen.
Oh, really? I do beg to differ. I think so, because you're always trying to find out people's sizes, like no, Joey Kovar on our posts.
I don't think size matter. I do think that there is a, you know, I mean, of course you don't want to be with someone that looks like, I don't want to look at someone and look down and they're like, the penis is non-existent, you know? It looks like a mushroom in a mushroom in grass kind of thing.
mushroom grass. Oh my god, that's a new one.
But you know, I mean, I don't think it doesn't necessarily. I mean, I guess I'm like Goldilocks. I don't want something too big. I don't want too small. I just want it just right. You know.
You want something in the Goldilocks zone.
You know, I just want it, you know, I think, you know, I think there is a, I think something that's too big. I mean, Henry sent me this picture of this guy, and I guess maybe we could put this up in our show notes, of this guy who has like this, we don't know if it's real or not, but his cock is huge. And I mean, if that was my boyfriend, what would, I mean, our sex life would consist of what? Because he, I mean, he would not, if he was trying to be a top, that's not going to happen.
I see now why you came up with this topic for the main drag.
Well, you know, I think I was also like, watching about, you know, One Girl, Five Gays, and they was having, you know, having a discussion on it. So, you know, and I thought, oh, maybe that'd be good, you know, for us to talk about it as well.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, I remember that picture. I found that picture on my Tumblr. And somebody from Tumblr posted it. And I occasionally see these pictures online. And you know, this is the first. I think that was the last straw. You know, it was this guy, and usually, I'm sorry to say, but actually, it's mostly white guys that pictures that I see on these people blogs that they have oversized penises. I mean, their cocks are huge. They go either down to their knee or past their knee. And they're like real pictures, like they're not Photoshop. And I'm usually, you know, it's either a mix between, you know, colored people, Latinos, the blacks, or the white guys. But mostly it's the white guys. And I don't know if it's because it's just the guys themselves on the blogs that are into the white guys. But it just seems like more and more I see just like a big amount of, well, let me not start using puns here. But it's usually a large... I guess you can't really get away from it, but it's usually, you know, a really large number of white guys that I'm seeing lately with huge, oversized cocks. And I remember one time that I dated this guy, and it was purely a booty, well, it wasn't dating, but it was more like booty call type guy, friends with benefits. And he put on this tape once, this porno tape from the 80s, and it was this guy with this huge... humongous penis, and it had to be put into a brace, and it looked real, but I kept on looking for, like, you know, the dildo marker on the guy's body to see if it was just fake, and it was really hard to determine if it was a fake or a real penis, and I just kept on, you know, that, my mind has been scarred and burned with that image of that man in that porno, and like, there were, like, about three or four guys that was helping this guy lift this thing up. And they were all, like, you know, like, sucking off on his cock. And it was just really weird. But ever since then, and now more than lately, I'm finding these pictures of these oversized guys. And I think to myself, like, what the hell would happen? I mean, I've been with two guys, at least, in my lifetime who were oversized. And I, you know, and it was like a one-night thing all the time, but one of them was really interested in me, and I was like, no, and I felt bad for him, but I felt bad for him because I could feel that he's always being chased away or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, like, my, yeah, you know, I guess it's not a, you know, I remember I was watching episode of Sex and the City, and Samantha, you know, who is, you know, the more slutty one of the group, you know, she dates a guy who's called Mr. Too Big. And
Mr. Too Big?
Yeah.
Wait, so there was a Mr. Big and then there was a Mr. Too Big.
Yeah, because Carrie was dating Mr. Big and she's like, I'm dating Mr. Too Big. And so, you know, and she's like, you know, she couldn't do it because he was like, okay, you know, and apart when they're having sex, he's like, okay, I'm, you know, I just want to warn you, a lot of people can't handle it. He's like, oh, okay, I'm up for the challenge. And then she basically was like, no, can we just be friends? Because it was just too much. So, I mean, I think, I'm sure they probably have people who are like, you know, listen, I can't mess with you because it's too big.
Yeah, I mean, that one guy that was talking about that he was, you know, I felt bad for, he really wanted to fuck me, but he was so thick and so long, I was like, what? And I was scared for my life. I was like, now I know how these other guys feel because, you know, I have to say I'm well endowed. And, you know, I have had guys in my life who were scared of me.
Yeah,
like, okay, so I got a little taste of my medicine, my home medicine, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I always thought that, you know, God, you know, I'm not too big. I'm just right. Like, I would like somebody my size.
Yeah.
And, but this guy was like, you know, probably twice my size and twice my girth. And he was hot, though. I mean, on the outside, he was really hot looking.
Yeah, but I can't fuck with that. I mean, you know, I mean, I had an ex-boyfriend who, you know, claimed he was, you know, he was like, oh, you know, I'm a top, whatever. But he had a really small penis. So while we were together, well, it wasn't like small, small. But it was, like, it wasn't big that it didn't really hurt, so it was like I didn't mind it, you know. But, you know, I can't imagine, you know, there are people who are like, you know, power bottoms or who are just bottoms and they can just do it, and like for me, no, it's not something that I could.
Yeah, I'm like,
it's not something that I would. I don't know how they do it. Like, how do you not sit down and, you know.
So, well, I'm like you, like, you know, I want something just right in that Goldilocks zone, you know, not too small,
exactly,
and not too
exactly.
big.
And I don't want to look at you and feel like I'm, you know, with a child, you know, like I don't want like a, you know, a baby penis, but I don't want something too big out of control, because I think sex would be about fit, and if it's painful, that's not enjoyable.
I know when I first came out and I was introduced to the term size queen, of the label size queen. And, you know, my friends were like, well, my gay mothers were like, oh, so-and-so is a size queen. Yeah, you should be, you know, you should watch out for her. Like, she's all about looking for big cock or whatever. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, I heard the same thing.
And I was like, well, I like big cock in my head, I'm saying to myself. I was like, oh, I better not reveal myself as a science queen.
Yeah, there was almost a connotation about, like, the negative connotation about being a science queen. And, you know, it was like, no, it's like, I was like, oh, okay, I don't want to be a science queen. You know, that's not what I'm into. But, you know, I mean, I think there is a thing with, you know, for me personally, like, it's just about fit, you know, personally.
Okay.
And, you know, and, you know, also, it's, you know, a person is, you know, and for me, like, being versatile, it's like, I don't want someone to be like, oh, if someone's acting like, oh, I'm a top and whatever, and you have a big, it's not going to happen. Like, it's going to affect our sex life.
Exactly. And, well, same thing with me. I mean, like, you know, if they, I don't know, like, I've came to an agreement with myself, you know, one, not to be a spiteful queen and go after people just for their cock size.
Yes, absolutely.
That's one, because there are those out there, and I have met those. And then, because they're all like, you know, you're in the sack, and like, ooh, you have such a big cock. And then I'm like, what's my name? And they're like,
Yeah, I don't, those things don't come out of my mouth.
No, like, I don't, like, you know, I'm like really happy and ecstatic, and I'll show you I'm like happy.
Yeah, I'll show you, exactly.
But I'm not going to be like, oh, it's all about your cock, and,
yeah,
and let me give your cock a name, and all
Yeah,
so, I made, you know, this decision with myself that I'm not going to be, like, those type of people, and I'm not. Like, I really, like I've said in previous podcasts, I live my life through others a lot, through other people's lives. So, I like to get to know people, I like to know where they're from, what they're experiencing, and what they've experienced in life.
Yeah.
So, you know, knowing that, I've come to that decision. You know, I've come to make, you know, a type of vow with myself that I'm not a size queen and a vicious one or a spiteful one like that. And I'm not the type of person that is, you know, is just going to look for sex. It's just going to look, you know, if you don't have that right penis, I'm not going to diss you and turn you away.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not willing to settle for less either.
Yeah, so, no, absolutely. No, I agree. But have you been with someone who was too small?
I have, actually. One of my first...
How small?
My first boyfriend, he was about an inch small. And an inch, like, yeah, an inch small, and he was... And he was
so he was an inch hard?
Like, yeah. Yeah, it was... It was a thumbelina.
So he was a mushroom in the bush, the mushroom in the grass.
He was a mushroom in the grass. Except that he mowed his grass a lot, so his penis looked a little bigger than...
Oh my God, what did you do with that?
Well, I...
I was watching Margaret Cho, and she was like, you know, it's like, you know, like, bird sucking, you know, like oh, like a bird trying to suck a worm out of the grass. Like, you know, like when it's like too soft and it's like trying to get hard, like it was like, and she does this like weird funny thing. It's like it's from her beautiful stand up show. It's like the funniest thing.
Oh my God.
I love Margaret Cho, but like really that small?
Really? Well, yeah. I mean, it's funny.
That, and you were in a relationship with him?
I was in a relationship with him for a couple of months, for about 3 months, or maybe even four. And I have to tell you, he was a really, really sweet guy, good lover. He was an Italian teacher at NYU. And
okay.
He was very muscular, very big. You know, he was a bodybuilder also. Very hairy. I mean, just my type. I mean, like, maybe I could even, like, got him to stop smoking pot. But he was such a freaking big pothead that I just couldn't...
So the pot was more of an issue than his penis?
And the sex, yeah. The pot was a bigger issue than his penis. And, you know, he was a very loving guy, though, overall. And very passionate. And the sex was good. Even though he had a small penis. And it wasn't very satisfying in terms of intercourse. And the thing, also, at the time, I didn't have much... intercourse or anal sex, so to me it wasn't like I was missing out too much on anything. So
yeah, but I mean, you're gonna feel, I mean, even if he's, yeah, I know, but like when you're down there and you touch it or you grab it, you want to feel something.
True. I mean, he had big balls, which I like and admire. Big balls on the guy.
But saggy long balls.
Yeah, oh, I love saggy long balls.
Oh, no,
yummy.
You are a mess.
What do you mean I'm a mess? It's perfectly normal just to have your preferences. I'm sure you don't like long saggy balls.
No, I don't like long saggy balls. No wonder if you... I was like talking to someone, can you get like a ball lift?
Oh, that must hurt. Ow.
I was like watching this, like, you know, porno or something, whatever, and this guy, his balls were so long, like you can see them like through his legs, you know, like clearly, like down.
Oh my
and
God.
I was just like, they were really long.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh my God, I would get a ball lift. they're really long. But anyway, getting back to the subject at hand.
Yes.
So I think, you know, people say, you know, it's really not about the size, it's about, you know, it's not the, well, it's not the size of the ship, it's the motion in the ocean. I mean, there are people...
Oh, wow, that's, I never heard that.
Yeah, it's an old term. Get with the...
Wait, it's not about the size, it's about the...
The motion in the, of the ocean.
Nice. Right?
So, I mean, I think that there are people, you know, who are not necessarily huge, but they can be really good lovers. But, you know, I guess you can kind of work with that. But also at the same time, I think aesthetically, I just don't, you know, I don't want to see my man naked and then look at him and then be like, oh, like, really? This is what I have to work with? So this is why always, you know, before I hook up with someone, I do the feel test. You know, like, I like to touch the, you know, even if it's over the, you know, over the pants, you know, not naked or anything like that. You know, I wonder if, you know, just brush my hand up against it, you know, just so I can be like, oh, okay, I can kind of work with that. That's okay, I can deal with that, you know. But if it's, like, too small, then you're like, ooh.
Then you kind of did the field test for nothing, and you're going to feel bad about telling the guy, not tonight.
Well, yeah. I mean, because you never know. I mean, because there are weird penises out there, you know. So
I don't know. I'm open to everything, but you know, I'm not gonna date a guy and pretend that, you know, this is gonna work. And I mean, if I date another guy like this guy Anthony, my first boyfriend, and he's not a pothead, and the sex is good, and he can, you know, his motion in the ocean is good, then...
Yeah, I mean, I guess it also depends, too. I mean, it also depends on where I'm at. I mean, if I'm just dating someone, and they have a small penis, and there's no real connection, then, of course, it could be a deal-breaker. But if I'm really head over heels for someone, and, you know, like, my boyfriend, like, he was, like, average size, so he wasn't, like, huge... But, you know, I was in love with him, so it didn't really matter the size of his penis.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was already invested in the relationship, I loved him, we were in a relationship, So it didn't really matter. So I guess it all depends on where we are in the relationship, or what type of relationship it is. But if it's just like a hookup, or it's just like a dating kind of thing, I might not go through with it. I might be like, oh, yawn, you know what, I'm kind of tired, you know, because what's the point? Or if I don't think that it's going to go anywhere, like the relationship is not going to go anywhere, mm-hmm. then I might be just a little, like, inclined to not go down that road.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, I mean, you just want something nice to look at.
Well, of course, you want something like Spartacus. Everyone, we were watching Spartacus together last night, and it was the first time I ever watched Spartacus, and Drew was like, ooh, this guy's always showing this guy is one of the warriors, the gladiators, he looks like Jake Tanner, like from Cult magazine, like from back in the 80s, and Jake was known for like his big, like, square jaw features, football player build, a bodybuilding physique. And boy, was this guy hot. And he was like, this guy always showing his pennies and everything. And he was like, yeah, that's not how I like my man. Something I can look at and I can hold. And I was like, okay.
I don't know if I said all of that. But, yeah, I mean, he's hot. I mean, if you haven't seen... And also, you know, rest in peace, Andy Whitfield. But,
Whitfield. I know. He's so hot.
He was so hot. But, yeah, I mean, Spartacus, Blood and Sand, I mean, they show nothing but penises and butts and...
Oh my god, everyone, that show is hot.
I can't wait for the new season, but...
Me too. I can't wait to do the recap.
The recap?
Well, I mean, I've never watched the full season. I mean, I
can't... Oh, so now you have something else to obsess over.
Oh, yeah, be careful now.
Oh, Lord. So, anyway, so I guess... You know, to wrap this up, I guess, you know, size, you know, it all depends. But, I mean, I guess we didn't really answer the question, does size matter?
I guess we kind of did.
Well, I mean, it does matter.
It
does matter. I mean, I think it does matter. I mean, I think, you know, it's okay to have a preference.
Because, you know, my other thing, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but... My other thing is that if I did date somebody who was, like, let's say a fire plug, which is, you know, normally usually, like, about 4 inches big, and they're kind of, like, thick and stuff, And it's still not enough for me. I know that out there now there's these toys that there's like these cock extenders that are like dildos basically, and you, well, strap-ons, and it goes over your dick, and it's like this sheath type of thing, and like, you know, you could pleasure your man if your man wants like 10 inches up his ass.
Oh my god. Okay. But I'd rather have my boyfriend be small and thick than small and thin.
Oh yeah.
I don't like pencil dicks. I'm not really cool.
Well, gee, I hope audience.
I hope we're not offending anyone. This is our own personal preference. Maybe this is why I'm single.
No, this is, well, maybe. Do tell.
No. But you know, no, not for me. But I'm just saying, like, you know, maybe because I'm,
I don't know.
Judgmental, but
I think we need more feedback, and we need more people feedbacking and calling us about these different topics. Because you know, if we offend you and you stop listening to us, you know, I'm sorry, but you lost your chance to give us some feedback.
No, exactly. Well, and it's also, I mean, everybody has their own preference and, you know, whatever. This is just our, again, this is just our opinion and what we like and what we want.
Yeah, this is a...
But it still doesn't, but again, it's the same thing, like, I don't, you know, we talked about before. Yeah, you know, I think it also does, you know, we also said that, you know, if we really liked someone and they were small, you obviously was in a relationship with someone, you know, we would give it a shot. So even though we have preferences, it also depends on the situation.
Right, and the chemistry.
And the chemistry. So, you know, of course, if I fell in love with someone, I fall in love with the person first before I fall in love with their penis.
Exactly.
But if they have, so I guess I wouldn't make do with, you know, their small penis.
And if the motion is right in the ocean, then you got yourself something good.
Well, thank you for that little tidbit. Alright, so that wraps up that segment. So now we are going to leave you with some music and we'll be back.
Elvis, 1990, Lost in Love, the Neon Dreams Club Mix. You know, when I saw the title to that song, I thought of Tiffany's song.
Lost in Your
Eyes.
Oh, God. Moving on.
Okay, moving on. Back into the closet. Our next segment.
We're throwing Henry back into the closet. for that comment.
Fuck you. I can't help it. I grew up with Tiffany. Anyway. Back into the closet is where we throw people, places, and things in our community that no longer... we think that it should have never have come out of the closet and needs to go back into the closet or has no more of a purpose in our gay community. And we hope that everyone also agrees with us. But if you don't agree, make sure to send us a feedback and we'll agree to disagree or we'll disagree. So, this week, we'll start with Drew.
This is something that, you know, I don't know anyone personally that does this, but it's come up, you know, recently. I've seen people talking about it, and so apparently it is out there, and I don't understand it. I don't get it, but I think it's kind of gross. But anyway, and so I think it should be thrown back into the pond. So gays who bleach their anus, and not their hairs on the anus, but their like actual like anal. Like their hole, and so it's like I don't understand why you would need to, why your anus needs to be lighter, or you have like, you know, discrimination from it being dark. Like I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Well, I don't get it either. Like, wait, so they're bleaching not their pubic hairs on their anus, but
like the area around, like the actual hole, like the skin.
Ew, really? Yeah. Like the pig, like they're trying to change their pigment color?
Yes.
What?
Yes. So, and do you remember that article, like, you know you're gay douchebag, gay or gay douchebag?
Uh-huh.
One of the things was, you know, about, you know, you're a douchebag when if you bleach your anus or something like that. When I was one of them, that's when I first...
Oh, but I meant like douching. No, I thought that's what they meant by that.
That was the first time I heard about it. And then I heard something about Margaret Cho, like she was like, you know, she did it for her show. Like she went to bleach her anus, like whatever. Like as a joke, she like it was so painful and she had like this whole like skit about it. But I don't understand why you would want to do that. Like I think that whole procedure needs to just be thrown in the closet and it's locked away. Like I don't know why you would do that.
Yeah.
It seems painful, and it also doesn't seem like, it just doesn't seem right.
It doesn't.
I'm sorry, we can't even, like, just the idea of it, you know, I can't even formulate words, because it just seems so gross.
I'm like, shocked. I'm, like, so totally shocked. Like, where does this started, and why, and...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if this is like a trend, but I mean, it apparently it does happen, and it's, you know, more than, you know, for Details magazine to have that thing in there, and for Margaret Cho to talk about it. So I mean, obviously, you know, it does happen. So people are doing it, and I don't understand why you would need to do it.
I know there's no, like, I can't see any healthy reasons.
Or you know, are people, you know. You know, anus snobs, and they're like, oh, well, you have a dark anus, so I only date guys who have lighter anus, so you have to, you know, like, I don't get it.
Well, I remember this one guy that, like, chased me, like, forever to have sex with me, and when we finally had sex, and he wanted to get fucked, and I was like, okay, I really don't want to do it, but I'm gonna do it.
Oh, you twist my arm.
And, you know, I like to rim my guys. And when I went down there, like, the outer, you know, the outer part of his anus, you know, this guy was a white guy. And he was like, you know, his skin was like pearly white. So, most white guys that I've dated like that, with that type of skin color, when you go down the rim on them, you know, their skin is that color. But this guy was like, it was like this dirty kind of like brown color, but it was like his pigment. That was the color of his pigment.
Okay.
And it was like this shadowing that was like happening around his anus. So I got disgusted because to me it looked dirty, but it wasn't. It was the color of his skin.
Okay.
So I was like, what would cause your skin to get so dark like that on a white guy who has pearly white skin? So I was like, I mean, it was, there was like this tinge of orange also on it, so it was just even more disgusting. So I can see maybe, like, if you wanted to get your pigmentation changed there for that type of reason, but it's not like that's a normal common occurrence among white guys. So, I mean, is this happening, anal bleaching, do you know, is it happening amongst more than just white guys, or is it, like, happening amongst colored guys also?
Colored guys? People of color? I have no idea. I have no idea.
Like, if you were black, or if you were, like, Latino, like, you know, you want to change your...
Your whole, from
a dark pink color to, like... Like jellyfish white?
Well, first of all, I don't really... Yeah, I don't have those hang-ups around my... You know, nor am I looking at my... No, I don't know. I mean, is it happening in the Latin community?
No, not that I know. This is the first time I've ever heard about it. I'm like mortified here. Like,
I don't know. Like, I don't know.
Like, I love eating shumai, but sometimes shumai, like, this is a Japanese dumpling, and sometimes shumai looks like a butthole to me. And I'm just picturing somebody like trying to like bleach their anus. It would look like a shumai.
I don't know.
Which is like a pale color.
I don't know why you would do it or the reasoning behind it. I mean, it just sounds kind of gross.
That is just.
And it just sounds kind disgusting. Of like really, like really, like are we at that point where you and you need? Are we making people feel bad about the color of their anus? Like, I could see if you went down there and you thought, okay, maybe it was dirty, but then obviously you're down there, you would be able to smell if it's, you know, a brown color. And if it was shit, you would have been like, oh, this smells bad, you know? But, so, is he getting a lot of people turned off by it, and so he's like, oh, let me bleach my anus because I don't want people to think that I'm dirty down there, you know? Like, I don't understand the reasoning behind it.
No.
So I just think the whole procedure, and it also seems kind of dangerous.
Yeah. Very dangerous.
So,
do you still have sensation down there? Like,
I don't know. And then also, like, just the rubbing, you know, that would, I don't know. It just seems really painful and unnecessary, and again, if there's anyone that has done it or know someone that's done it, please let us know why so we can try to figure it out. But until then, it's going back into the closet and we are throwing away the key.
Sashay away. You and your fake anus.
So anyway, that's that.
Okay. Well, I don't have an item to throw in the closet, but I do have somewhat of a rant, and, you know, like, since I've been in the city for the last few days, I mean, like, there's these guys that, like, you know, they're interested in you, but they look like, you know, they act like they're not interested in you, and I'm like, what the fuck's wrong with you guys? Like, you know, that's bullshit. Like, you know, it's okay to look someone in the eyes and, like, and just smile and be like, and just show them that you're somewhat interested, or just, you know, I've said this in the previous podcast. I mean, it's good to flirt. It's healthy to flirt. But when you're looking away and you're just like playing some like dumbass game, okay, maybe you're into bondage or S&M and you want to be sadistic. But if you don't, you shouldn't be playing games like that with guys. Like, you know, flirt. It's healthy, you know, especially in the city, looking at somebody and letting them catch you looking at them. And then just smile, like, ha-ha.
Yeah, but people can also be kind of shy. I remember, like, you know, I used to go to this club called Mr. Black, and, you know, and it would be, like, you know, I loved the music there, and I would dance all the time. And, you know, guys would, you know, come, and they would stand. Like, if I was, like, kind of, like, taking a break from the music, and they would stand right next to me, but they wouldn't say anything. And they would get really close. And I'm like, if you're going to be that close to me, say something.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't understand. Why don't you, like, so... But, And then I don't say anything because I'm now kind of freaked out by it. Like, you know, like, what do you, now you're in my dance space, you know, so I move away. And so, but maybe they are waiting for you to kind of take the initiative or, you know, speak first, or they're just too shy to actually say something. So I don't, I mean, I don't know.
Well,
but my thing is, like, don't do all of that. Like, don't go stand next to someone if you're not ready to talk to someone.
Well, that's,
or don't make the eye contact if you don't want them to engage in a conversation.
I mean, when the eye when you know this eye contact, then you know this flirting. I mean, just the guy standing next to you and stuff, he's not doing anything.
No, he's standing next to you practically, like, on top of you. Like, he's, like, I can feel his arm, you know, on me. Like, you know, like, not, like, because it's a crowded place, but, like, he's inching his way next to me. Like, it was obvious,
that,
you know?
That, to me, is, like, equal to, like, when the guy starts up the conversation and leaves you to handle the rest of the conversation. And I'm like, what the fuck?
So, I don't know.
Yeah, that's what, like, the eye contact is like with me. Like, you know, you start a conversation, finish it. You know, don't let me finish it, because I'm going to come up to your face next time, and I'm going to be like, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Oh, my God.
This is New York, goddammit. If you were, like, living in some other fucking city, like, where I live now, you'll be like having a shotgun in your fucking head, but just looking at somebody the wrong way.
Oh my God.
Oh God.
He's a little angry there.
Well, anyway.
He's an angry bear.
Okay, go ahead. You were going to say something?
No, I thought that was it.
Well, I had another rant. I mean, like, and this is it. I mean, this is not so much a rant, but I wanted to throw some technology in there for you guys who are just starving for technology on our podcast. iPhone 5 is supposed to be announced tomorrow. I mean, even though Apple's not really alluding to that, the fact that they're going to announce iPhone 5, but iPhone 5 is supposed to be announced tomorrow, as we're all anticipating it. And I'm kind of, like, you know, torn at the fact that, well, hurt at the fact that iPhone 5 is finally going to be out, and it's going to be the iPhone that should have been launched when iPhone first came out. And I'm upset at the fact that it's on Sprint. Finally, the iPhone is on Sprint on my network. And I have no money to buy it. I have no money to buy the iPhone 5 to have it on my Sprint network, which... I'm telling you, I think this is going to be feature-packed, and it's going to be the iPhone that should have been iPhone 4, it should have been iPhone 1, and I'm going to miss out on it. Like, well, I'm going to have to wait, like, for 2 years in order to,
no,
like,
you're going to put positive things out into the universe. We're going to, after this podcast, we're going to have a little prayer, and, you know, as we mentioned earlier in our Top of the Podcast, that we might have some interesting news, exciting news to share with you.
That's,
so,
okay,
you know, hopefully, you know, we want you to, you know, pray with us. And, you know, we're going to put it out into the universe, and it's going to happen. So, you might be able to get that iPhone. So, you know, calm down. You know, don't fret, my pet. Don't be too, you know, it can happen.
Okay, don't get kooky on your rhymes here. Fret, my pet.
I know, that was taking something from Family Matters.
Oh, God.
Anyway, so, yeah.
Now we must pray, and we must pray for your droid bionic.
Yeah, so I've seen like the contact, I've seen the commercials, and it seems like an awesome phone. But I don't know. But now they've been talking about the iPhone, and I don't know if I should just get an iPhone. But I'm also in the same boat, so we'll figure this out.
Well, I'm tired with my Droid. I mean, they sold me on my Droid, and my Droid was like the first Sprint phone in a long time that's worked for me. Aside from my Palm Pilot phone, and it's experiencing all these different problems as of like the last several months, and it's never stable. And I hate it because I always have to tweak it. So I know with the iPhone, because I have an iPhone 3G, before I went back to Sprint, I never had to tweak it. Never. I mean,
well, I've had people have had problems with their iPhone too. So I don't really know, you know. And it's also, and I attribute that to, you know, the service as well. I didn't know if it was actual phone or just because it was with AT&T.
AT&T just sucks. Anyway.
So, you know, but, you know, I've had people have problems with their iPhone or, you know, say, you know, mention things about it. So, but, you know, there is a blog that, you know, hasn't been posted yet, but there was there's some kind of study I remember where I saw it, that most people, you know, in a 2-to-1, like, kind of head-to-head voting, preferred the Android versus the iPhone. Mm. And they beat it by, you know, a large margin. So, and that made me think, well, maybe I should get the Droid Bionic because it's a Droid, and as opposed to, I'm still kind of on the fence.
Well, I always tell other people, you know, go to the store and play with it.
Yeah. Like all things.
Yes, like all
like all things, you must play with it first before you buy it. That's the theme of my podcast.
No, it's not. Just don't put it in your mouth. And with that, we must say goodbye now.
Yes, we will say goodbye. And as always, you can email us at autofixpodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to follow our blog post at autofixpodcast.blogspot.com. Or you can friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/theautofixpodcast. Or you can Twitter us or follow us on Twitter at All Fix Podcast, or drop us a line and give us a call. We would love to, you know, hear from you at 646-504-3491. And if you have suggestions for throwing things back into the closet or any type of feedback on the show or anything or what you would like to hear, you can always just leave us a message. We would love to hear from you. So with that said, do you have any final thoughts?
No, not really.
Okay, so, and neither do I. So with that being said, you know, again, wish us luck, and hopefully in our next podcast we'll have, some more, you know,
delicious things for you to eat.
And, oh my god. Oh, we'll have some exciting news, and we're almost on podcast number 20, so, wow, it feels like, you know, our baby is still growing, so...
And thank you for keeping on looking at our on our blog, because the numbers have been astounding lately. We're almost to 25,000 views.
Yeah, so thank you all, and thank you for listening to our podcast and supporting us. We really, really appreciate it. So with that being said, we're going to leave you with something to dance, something to groove to. Here is Bob Moe, and the song is called My House, and it's the Dowster remix. So enjoy and have a good week. Bye-bye.
It's mine.